heading, going away to the KUC candidate forum in just a moment. I'll let you know.
We're seeing it with our loss of trade winds, the increase in temperatures, less rainfall but more flooding, increase in insects and insect-borne diseases. So that's kind of the disclaimer. That's the reason I don't get invited to parties, yeah. but that's kind of the direction that we're, the emphasis that we're placing on our meeting tonight. And because we do feel a responsibility to educate and to be part of this social movement that looks at our own consumerism and looks at the deeply entrenched systems that have brought this crisis to the place that we're at now, and acknowledging the social injustices that are part of it, that as we think, as we question if there is climate change, there's so many people in the world suffering, and it's those people who have contributed the least, and those people who have the least resources to escape it also. So, and we're part of this whole web, so this really is the kind of our defining moment in many ways in how will we respond to it. And on Kauai, we can be example. We really have an opportunity to be an example for other places, for other communities. As we look at our own consumerism, as we look at where things come from, how they were produced, how we dispose of them, how we travel, how we get around, and where our energy comes from. And that, I'm getting to the point, is our emphasis tonight, where our energy comes from. And we're very fortunate, actually, that we have an electric co-op, because a co-op is able to place people before profit. They're not driven by a profit incentive. And I'd like to really applaud the staff and the board of members, the board that we have had that have really pushed us towards renewables. We are going to meet the 50% goal ahead of time within the next couple of years. I read in the newspaper last week that we have more large-scale solar on our grid than any other place in the U.S. But now we come to the hard question. How are we going to get the next 50%? And that's what we're here tonight to kind of determine which of these five people. There's three seats that are open. We have three incumbents, five candidates, and who can we count on for being socially, economically, environmentally responsible and helping taking us to that next 50%. So, I need to introduce our moderators. We have Luke Evslin. Luke joined, he's at Keikio Ka'aina. He returned to Kauai about 5 years ago and wasted no time in joining Apollo. And he has his own business that makes stuff, like canoes and things like that. Luke is also a very prolific writer, and he has just joined the staff of Civil Beat. And that's his friend Ben. Ben Sullivan, he was one of our founding members 12 years ago. He also served on the board himself, and he was chair of the Strategic Planning Committee. And now Ben is, I'm trying to remember your title, Ben, but he works for the county, and he is in charge of helping guiding the energy and sustainability for the county. But tonight he's an Apollo Kauai guy. So our moderators would tell you more about the format for tonight, but just let you know that there are bathrooms outside, but you can close the door when you go in, but leave it open when you come out, or nobody else can get in. And Ben will probably remind us later, but Apollo is about action, and we do have a community action meeting plan for St. Patrick's Day, March 17, 6 o'clock. At the Civic Center. And I know Malama Kauai is planning a big Earth Day celebration on April 24th, Megan? Correct? Okay. And you can stay tuned for more of that. Thank you all for coming, and thank you, candidates.
Thank you all for coming. Before I give you the format, KKCR is here, and I want to also thank them for coming. But they have a top of the hour radio thing that they. Oh, you guys are ready. Oh, they are good to go. So, yeah, thank you guys again. Thank you guys all for being here and for putting yourselves forward. So the format for tonight, we're gonna have 11 questions that we're gonna be asking Ben and myself. Before we get to those, we'll have a 2-minute opening for each candidate. And we'll have a 2-minute closing. Each question, there's 1 minute per answer. Ben here is handing out some LED light bulbs, which LEDs are, one, they're good for saving energy, and two, whenever a candidate wants to respond to something that somebody else said, they can lift up that LED light bulb. So they got two opportunities to do that. So each question, they will have 1 minute to respond. If they hold up an LED and want to respond to what somebody else has said, they have 30 seconds. So you guys understand what the LEDs are for? It's if you want to respond, you've already spoken maybe, somebody says something, you want to respond to that, you hold it up. But let's try and keep it more civil than some of our presidential debates have been.
Wouldn't be hard.
So about halfway through, we're going to ask about 5 or 6 yes-no questions. Those are just going to be simple yes-no. Hold up your hand, put down your hand. And at the end of the evening, we're going to be taking questions from the audience. So those questions will both, people can come up to the mic and ask. If you don't want to come up to the mic, you can write your question down and answer. And I think it'll be handing out or collecting these. And last thing, so for your guys' answers, your 1 minute, you have a 15-second warning when that yellow goes up that Rob has in his hands, and then when your time is up, red. And we will be alternating who is the first question, right? So Jan will take this first one, and we'll go down the line.
KKCR.
Thanks, Luke. One more minor point before we begin. Who do we got from KIUC in the room? We got Jim and Brad in the back. Okay, since the rest of the staff's not here, I just want to say, you know, these guys are doing an incredible job, and I hope everyone, I think everyone in the room realizes it. They're really setting the pace in the state of the country. So it's a pleasure that we're here tonight. We can have these conversations. The board has a huge influence on what happens, but staff really drives it. So we're fortunate to have those people work for us. Okay, question number one. We'll start with you, Dan, and everybody gets a chance. This is a simple one. Please share with us things you have accomplished or initiated as a KUC board of director or as a member of the KUC board of directors, or other contributions you have made to the community. And at the same time, why do you want to serve on the KUC board? What are your goals as a board member? I believe this is a 2-minute response or one?
They're supposed to give their own opening first.
Oh, okay. So now you know what the first question is. Go ahead and open up.
And that's Cal's microphone that you're talking about. I'm just
I have a question.
Yeah.
I think Luke said 2-minute intro. We were told 3.
Opening statement is 2 minutes. All the other answers are 1 minute.
The format that was given to us said 3.
Oh, for the opening?
Yeah.
No, 2 is enough.
2 is enough.
If you want to end in 2, you can, but we said 3.
Okay, thanks, Ben. My name is Jan Tenbruggen-Kate. When I was first asked to run for the KIUC board back in 2009, I thought I knew something about the electricity business and the utility business. I'd covered energy issues for the Honolulu Advertiser for years. I'd been writing about Kauai Electric and later KIUC for decades. And after I left the newspaper business, I'd even done some writing for KIUC as a consultant. Once elected in 2010, I learned the amazing complexity of this industry and the wide range of issues the utility board has to face. They include risk management, strategic planning, managing disruptive technologies, auditing the utility to ensure financial controls are secure, policy development, all kinds of other things. And yet for most of
yet. Apologies for interrupting you. I guess they're not picking it up quite yet, so you might have to talk right into the mic if you can.
I'll try this mic. Does that work for you? Okay. For most of our members, only 3 things about the utility matter. I call them the 3 R's. the lowest possible rates, the best possible reliability, and renewables, getting away from the volatility and the toxicity of fossil fuels. We've had some stumbles, but we're doing amazingly well on those fronts. Our rates, once the highest in the state, are now at the low end. A few months last year, ours were the second lowest in all the islands, after Oahu, which burns cheap, dirty coal for some of its power. We had a blip last year in our long New Year's outage, which some of you may remember, but in most months, our reliability is the best of all the utilities in the state. And, of course, our crowning achievement, we've moved into renewables faster than any utility in the whole country. Roughly 40% of our power today comes from the sun or falling water or burning wood chips that are grown locally, five times higher than when I joined the utility just 6 years ago. By the end of this year, we should be close to 45% renewable. By the end of next year, we're hoping to be past 50%, which is to say we'll get there 6 years before our strategic plan calls for it. A remarkable bit of work, and I'm particularly proud of the work, as Ben mentioned, of our 150 remarkable employees, as well as our management team, and yes, our board. We've got a lot more to do. We need to find the path to 100% renewable power, and actually nobody anywhere knows how exactly to achieve that. Still 10 years ago, when we took a shot at 50% renewable power, nobody knew how to get there. We found our way there. We're counting on technology changes and other improvements and a well-run utility to get us there. We think we can do it. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Alvin Murashige. I was first approached by Jant and Bruggengate, I think it was late 2011, about to consider running for the KIUC board. And I think at that time, I sort of brushed them off. Wasn't so sure what I wanted to do, but being retired, I gave it a second thought, and I decided to go ahead and give it a try. It's been a very enjoyable learning experience. Before I knew what my bill said, I knew that I paid it, my power would stay on. I knew that we could cut back on our home consumption by having a solar water heater. But there is very little else that I was really aware of as far as what it takes to run a successful cooperative. More so a cooperative model that's something fairly new in Hawaii. Up until that time, we had Citizens Utilities. Before that, we had Wainiha Power. But through the first year, it's been a terrific learning experience. Since then, I've gotten more used to the issues that we face as a board, our responsibilities. Our primary responsibility, of course, is to hire our CEO to conduct periodic evaluations. I think another responsibility that we have is to develop the strategic plan, ensure that it's being followed, modified if it's necessary. I think from my perspective, having come on in 2012, it has been a fairly smooth sailing. A lot of the work has been, I think, taken care of by the earlier board members, and we were basically making decisions on how to carry out the strategic plan, what renewable projects we can endorse. And I think, like Jan, I give tremendous credit to the staff, to senior management, especially to our CEO, who I think is doing a very good job in coming up with various options for the board to consider. While we are, I think, come a long way technologically with the different sources of renewables, I remember my first groundbreaking was for the ANB solar farm soon after I got on board, and within the year that was off and running. Then we had the Kaloa solar farm, followed by Anahola. Early this year, we had green energy biomass plant, and I think some of you saw the release that came out yesterday about the Solar City agreement, providing power, but more importantly, providing a storage. So we've taken tremendous steps in becoming or meeting that goal of 50% renewables. I think we also need to work on encouraging our members to become more efficient. And one way would be to...
That's it.
I have one.
Aloha. My name is Nina Morita. First of all, I want to thank the organizers of Palo Kauai and Malama Kauai for the opportunity to participate this evening and for everybody for coming and listening out there. Almost a year ago, I retired from public service where I spent the previous 4 years as the chair of the Public Utilities Commission. And prior to that, 15 years in the State House of Representatives and 13 years as the House Chair of the Energy and Environmental Protection Committee. And that's when I worked on the passage of many of the laws that now shape Hawaii's energy landscape, including greenhouse gas reduction targets. And as the Chair of the PUC, it was my job to make sure that the Hawaii electric utilities implemented our energy policy. So while Kauai is leading the way in clean energy transformation, I want to use my past experience to help in that effort. Our electric cooperative touches every single resident, business, and government service on Kauai, and therefore our cooperative also has a huge role and responsibility to help keep our economy robust and to improve our quality of life. On the environmental side, our Kauai community should be really proud, and it's been mentioned several times today, on how serious KIUC has taken on the task to incorporate renewables into our system. However, being a successful cooperative takes more than integrating renewables into the grid. The community needs to be aware and have a good understanding of our technical and economic challenges. So education and transparency are important issues I would like to focus on as a board member. I've committed to three principles in my energy career, and these three principles are also strongly aligned with the objectives of our current strategic plan. So here are my three commitments to our Kauai community. First, lower more stable electric bills for customers, for all customers, through a strategy of diverse, strategy of a diverse portfolio of resources and technologies by encouraging wise timing for new investments to optimize all of our assets, whether it's on the utility side or on the customer side, to achieve efficiency, cost-effective benefits, and value to the electric system. The second is to balance the maximum use of cost-effective renewable resources while protecting the electric system performance to maintain reliability in a rapidly changing system environment. And the third is accessibility, fairness, and opportunity for all customers to benefit from clean energy policies. So thank you.
Hello. My name is Bill Peterson. I live here in Kapa'a on Kauai. And I know, looking around, by most standards, I'm the least qualified candidate here. We have an ex-chair of the PUC. We have people who have years of experience on the board of KIUC, and they have done a fantastic job. And I think they're moving the utility in the right direction. So what do I bring here? Why should you even consider voting for me? And the reason is I'm passionate about the future of rooftop solar. I'm not talking about the large $40 million fields of solar panels installed on ag land and Hawaiian homelands by KIUC. They're important projects, but they use up a lot of resources that I think could be better put towards storage, because I think that's the key going forward. So what I'm talking about is small-scale systems paid for by our customers, ourselves, installed on the roofs of their houses, garage, or businesses, generating low-cost, clean power to sustain us all. My wife and I invested in a small rooftop system last year that went live last May. It cost us a big chunk of savings, but with the money we are saving on our monthly KIUC bill and the rebates on our taxes, the system will pay for itself in less than 5 years. That's a That's a big thing. That means it's not only a good thing to do for our environment, it's also a smart thing to do economically. It means that we're investing in our utility. It means we're involved. We were one of the first people to get one of those little displays in the house. When it's green, we know we're going good, that our utility usage is small. When it turns red, we know we've got to turn something off. It gets us involved. It gets us as part of the solution instead of just being consumers. I believe the role of KIUC is changing. With more and more sustainable solar power coming online every day from both the utilities projects and the rooftop solar, along with individual backyard wind generators and small-scale hydro projects, KIUC needs to specialize in storing and distributing that energy rather than generating it. They have to do both. We're too small an island for them to specialize, but there's room for both. And that's why, as a board member, I would encourage KIUC to support more rooftop solar by focusing their resources on providing energy storage. And this Tesla Sun City project is a huge step in the right direction. And I really applaud the board for going there. But we need to find ways that we can go forward, use less land, use the resources we have, the roofs that are already tied to the grid, and take advantage of the clean, environmental, sustainable energy that shines down on us every day here on Kauai. Thank you, and thank you to Apollo Kauai and Malama Kauai.
Aloha, my name's Carol Bain. I'm one of the candidates running for election. I wanted to acknowledge our listening audience and our viewing audience, and what's really great about elections is that it's an opportunity to inform and better educate all of us and exchange ideas. Our community is facing many challenges, including the need for greater food self-reliance and greater energy self-reliance. A pumped hydro storage project that is now being studied and is progressing by KIUC, it's close to implementation. And I really want to see it happen. That's a major reason I'm running. This project, after careful environmental impact assessment and community input, has the potential to support our agricultural irrigation needs on the west side and for our island, and will add to our diversified energy portfolio. At the same time, it's really a good project. And in case you haven't heard about it, I wanted to just share a little more detail about it. I think you'll be fascinated. What pumped storage hydro is, the system proposed for Kauai will be on the west side, and it'll use the upper storage pond up above Waimea in the Kokei Waimea Park area. And the pond will be connected by a 5-mile-long buried steel pipeline to a lower pond. During the day, inexpensive solar power would be used to push the water uphill to the storage pond. And then at night, when the demand for electricity is at its peak, after all, the sun's going down, so we need more energy reliably, this water would be released, flowing downhill through the pipe to turn a turbine and generate electricity. This is a really good project. It's one of the reasons why I'm running. The effort that KIUC is doing now is to try to get permitting to do an environmental impact statement, which would be a full year long study, and allow community input. We'll look at, of course, the pros and cons, and it won't go forward without our community support. But I think this project would provide reliable energy for perhaps, 100 years in the future. So that's one of the major reasons I'm running. I'm looking forward to communicating other priorities that I have tonight, and glad that you're out there listening.
Great. Thank you all. Thank you all for the introduction. Can you hear me? Okay, great. I don't think I'm going to surprise any of the candidates with the first question here. Nor is it one that really should cause any surprise. Pretty straightforward, but we will start with Jen Tenbergen. Okay, we'll just go down the line, I think, in the very next question. We'll start with Jen Marshige and the like. So, Jan, please share with us things that you have accomplished as a member of the KAUC board or other contributions you made to the community. Why do you want to serve on the KAUC board, and what are your goals as a board member?
Thanks. One of the things that's I guess everybody gets, but you don't always remember, is that KIUC has moved fast, aggressively. We've got national awards for the amount of renewables we put on our system, but that stuff doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen easily. It doesn't happen without a heck of a lot of work. I've been in the rooms when we've made those decisions. When we've worked with our staff, we've found the resources to do the projects we've done. It's required us to persevere because some of the roadblocks that get thrown in front of you when you try to do big projects that other people haven't done before are stupendous, to say the least. It's required us to be nimble. Technology is changing so fast that the strategic plan, for example, that we wrote just 2 years ago is in many ways out of date. We need to change it. We're going to tackle that this year. And my time's up. Thanks.
Personally, I believe that the accomplishments as a director are really being part of a collaborative team. No one director takes charge and pushes only one project through. It requires the concurrence, the discussion with all the other directors. So I believe that the accomplishments are really accomplishments that the board makes collectively, and that as a director, I and other directors participate in the discussions, in the exchange of ideas, and through such discussion and exchange, we reach a consensus on how best to serve the members and the cooperative. Thank you.
Just a quick interjection. I just want to remind the candidates all to identify themselves for the benefit of the radio listeners. And for your own benefit.
Thanks. This is Mina Morita. I think my contributions to this issue is were primarily as a legislator. When I was the chair of the Energy and Environmental Protection Committee, one of the first bills I worked on and improved throughout the years was the Renewable Portfolio Standards, and that set the market floor for renewable entry into the state because they need to be guaranteed a certain level of business in order to gain a foothold in Hawaii, and that's what the Renewable Portfolio Standards did. So, working on shaping the energy landscapes through a lot of the bills that I worked on and our climate change policies through the greenhouse gas emissions reduction. When I was at the PUC, one of the things that I worked on was bringing together the Department of Business, Economic Development, Tourism, and Department of Health to do a collaborative response to the EPA's clean power plan. Okay, thanks.
Hi, I'm Bill Peterson again. As the new kid, I can't say I've added much to the board at this point. What I'd like to bring there is a focus on storage and definitely a focus on rooftop solar, using the roofs we have out there, using our customer base, bringing them in, trying to get the board to push for low-cost or no-cost loans. My wife and I were fortunate enough to have enough economic resource that we can do solar on ours. But most people don't have that here. It's tough. So I'd like to see the board and KIUC make low-cost loans available so that everyone can take advantage of the same advantages we have. Thank you.
Aloha. I'm Carol Bain. Well, the question, what I've accomplished, microphone's on. Carol Bain, the question about what I've accomplished on the board of KIUC since I was elected in 2007. I've served on many committees. I've chaired I'm currently the chair of the Member Relations Committee. I've also served on policy. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the area of policy. I believe I introduced a policy on safety. Also, policies 32 and 33 were really key. Those are the policies that deal with the members' right to petition the board. By putting those policies forward, it allows clarification and guides the members. So I'm there to work and on the best interest of our members.
Am I honored here? Yeah. This next question will start with Judge Murashige, and Mina will be second. Jan will be last. Given that the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change states that we need a 70 to 90% emissions reduction by 2050 and 100% emissions reduction by 2100, as a member of the KIUC board, how does climate change influence your decision making?
Well, this is Calvin Murashige. Certainly, we're aware of the impact of climate change. We are looking at different sources of energy, primarily renewables, which we think would certainly reduce the emission problem. But again, it's not one simple matter. It's looking at a variety of solutions, hoping to find one which is feasible and certainly affordable. Thank you.
This is Mina Morita. I think the most important thing is the maximum use of cost-effective renewables onto the grid without compromising reliability. The second thing is to improve our efficiency programs, because if we're using fossil fuels, you want to use the cleanest, most efficient fossil fuels possible, the least amount of fossil fuels possible. And also efficiency in on the customer end, too, so everybody gets the biggest bang for their buck. So, again, maximum amount of renewables plus heavy emphasis on productivity and efficiency.
Hi, this is Bill Peterson again. Fossil fuels are a dead end for us. Right now the prices are low, but they're going to start going back up fairly soon. Looks good to us right now because we're down under 14 cents a kilowatt hour on oil, but that won't last for long. We can get solar for 11 to 12 cents a kilowatt hour. It helps everybody on their bill. It helps the environment. It keeps us out of trouble in so many ways, and it's the right thing to do. The question is how to go forward doing that. And a mix of large solar projects, a mix of rooftop projects which use less land and give us more access, I think they're all in the table for the utility here.
Aloha, I'm Carol Bain. KIUC is reducing carbon emission levels to 1990 levels by the year 2023. We put that in our strategic plan before that climate change statement came out. Plus, we want to reduce carbon emissions even more. But we've been setting very aggressive, strong plans strategically to reduce the burning of fossil fuels. CO2 comes about when you burn fossil fuels. The diesel that we burn, the naphtha, the less that we burn, the less emissions that we'll have. So that's what we need to work toward. The more we have renewable energy, the less emissions we'll have. Thank you.
This is Jan Tenbruggen, Kate. I remember a quote that was on a on the wall of a grammar school that I was in that talked about a man's reach needing to exceed his grasp. The 70 to 90% emissions controls by emission reductions by 2050 and 100% by 2100 seem really difficult right now. I suspect that at KIUC we're going to get there way sooner than that. One of the missions is that we reach 1990 levels of emissions by, I think it's 2020. We're going to get there a couple of years early. I think we'll reach that by 2018. We're leading the state, and we're leading the country in this sort of thing, and I'm really proud of what we're doing at KIUC. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Next question relates to the strategic plan. Obviously, the strategic planning effort for board members is one of the real key responsibilities, as has been noted. And I think the context is this. So we've all talked about the KIUC's 50% by 2023 goal. And I think many are also aware of the target set by the state last year, which is 100% by 2045. So in that context, what will you most likely – okay, so – sorry. Does the plan need to be revisited? Does the strategic plan need to be revisited? And what revisions would you advocate for to start with? Mina Morita?
Hi, this is Mina Morita. Given the rapid pace of advancing technologies, we do have to be adaptable and flexible, and that should be reflected, and I believe it is reflected in the strategic plan. So I agree we need periodic updates because it shouldn't be set in stone, given a whole bunch of uncertainties for us out there as we move forward. And so the key characteristics that we want out of any strategic plan is adaptability and flexibility as we move forward. But we also should really look at a no-regret strategy where we can move forward with no regrets, and definitely energy efficiency is a no-regret strategy.
Well, times are changing rapidly. The strategic plan, as Jan mentioned, that you made 2 years ago is out of date already. If you make a plan today, it'll be out of date tomorrow. That's just a fact of life these days. Change is coming at us at a very increasingly rapid rate. There's some very cool things going on out there between the pump storage plan, the agreement with Solar City and Tesla, batteries. I think we have a lot of potential here to go even further forward on renewables in a very rapid way. We also have a way of reducing the pollution from other things, like all the cars on our roads. If we can provide sufficient electrical capacity, we can, over the time, go to electric cars on this island and wipe out a lot of that pollution as well, and that's the biggest number out there.
Aloha, I'm Carol Bain. Yes, our strategic plan, it really, for KIUC's, really got it going in 2009. But yes, it's an evolving document. It's alive. Just because we set the year 2023 to accomplish to 50% renewables, if we make it by 2020 or 2018, we're going to continue on. I just want to read a quote by our own Hawaii Public Utilities Commission. The commission appreciates the leadership KIUC has demonstrated in aggressively moving forward with integrating high penetrations of cost-effective solar PV resources into the Kauai grid. Yes, we've been putting a lot of solar utility level onto the grid. That's allowed us and helped us. But next, yes, we want... and we have the biomass facility for alternatives. We want this pumped storage, a pumped hydro storage system. The more renewables, the better, and we'll just adapt the strategic plan to allow it. Thank you.
This is Jan Ten Bruggen, Kate. Does our strategic plan need to be revisited? Of course, at KIUC we revisit the strategic plan every 2 years. It's great that in 2008, when nobody had any idea how to do it, we put a 2023 goal 50% renewables on, and we're going to be there next year. We're slam dunking the strategic plan we've got now. We're going to move that, move those goalposts a lot closer, and make it a little tougher. Strategic planning shouldn't be easy.
As board members, we get quarterly updates on progress being made toward the strategic plan. And as Jan said, we do revisit it every 2 years or oftener as necessary. I think what's important also is that we are aware that technology is changing very rapidly. But at the same time, we need to be aware of the cost factor. Certain storage facilities may be ideal, but it may cost much more. So it's, in a sense, we're waiting to see next development. I think the Solar City battery storage facility is the latest in storage capabilities. Maybe in the next 6 months, it'll be something different. And if that's the case, we revisit our strategic plan and make changes as necessary. Thank you.
Just a quick follow-up on that question. We'll do a quick yes-no. Would you support adding a 100% renewable goal into the KUC strategic plan or no? So raise your hand for a yes. Would you support adding a 100% renewable goal into the KUC strategic plan? Raising your hand is a yes. And
it's the law.
That was a slam dunk.
Okay, here's your...
Yeah.
There were
100% had 100%.
Here's your real question, starting with Mr. Peterson. How can KIUC stabilize its rates?
Well, the most variable part of the rates right now are oil prices. So if the more we can get off of oil, the more stable the prices will be. And, in fact, the less they'll be because the other renewable resources are generally less expensive. Now, that's not entirely true, but I think for the most part, get off oil. That's the main thing.
My name is Carol Bain. Stabilizing influence will come about also with decoupling. If we can... establish a rate structure that decouples our margin from our sales level, minimizes the subsidies between customer classes, recovers more of the actual cost of service through the fixed charges. That might stabilize our rates. And yes, we can't control Chevron. We can't control the fuel cost. We're lucky that right now cost of diesel has dropped and fossil fuels has dropped. But the more we have what we can control is our renewable energy and a diversified portfolio, and that will allow us to control the cost.
This is Jan Tenbruggen, Kate. How to stabilize rates. Oil is volatile. There's no question about that. Everybody knows it. Oil is going to go way up. It's going to go way down. Your power bills are going to go up and down with it. It's not as easy as just getting off oil. You also have to negotiate tough contracts. You have to make sure the prices are stable over time. A lot of contracts have to have inflation adjusters in there. You have to be aggressive and willing sometimes to walk away from a deal if it's not a good deal for the members.
This is Calvin Murashiga. I certainly agree with Mr. Peterson and Mr. Tenbruggen have said. I don't think there's anything more I can add.
This is Mina Morita, and that was going to be my line. I think everybody covered everything, the rate structure, addressing the most volatile part of the bill, which is the fuel adjustment charge, and looking at more productivity out of the system.
Thanks, everyone. Next question. So the low-income housing energy assistance program is something, one way that our community helps people who have difficulty paying their electric bills. The question for you is this program adequate, or do we need additional mechanisms such as rate structure or other assistance programs to address the issue of equity and social difficulty for low-income residents?
This is Carol Bain. Well, I know low-income residents are challenged to not only pay their rent. They're challenged to pay their electricity bills, their utility bills. If I could just have clarification on the question, you want to know, is that adequate?
Are the existing programs adequate, or should we be looking for additional mechanisms to help people out?
Yes, we should help people that are in need. I know that there are programs to allow support. If you're talking about utilities, KIC does have work with KEO, Kauai Economic Opportunity as well, to find assistance with paying the electric bills. So, yes, the economic times are difficult. If we can find ways to improve it, all the better.
This is Jan Ten Bruggen, Kate. Our existing measures for helping our lower-income residents are absolutely not adequate. Partly that's because the utility landscape has changed so dramatically, and I kind of wish Mina had gone first on this because she can address this clearly. Our rate structures are ancient rate structures built in a time when the rate structure itself protected our lower-income folks. We have lower rates for people who have lower use and higher rates because of the way we've structured our rates. That has to change. And we are penalized by the fact that our Public Utilities Commission, I can't blame Mina because she's not there anymore, responds very slowly to our requests to make corrections in our rate structures, to make them more fair. And that's something we need to work on further. Thanks.
This is Kelvin Murashige. One thing that we can emphasize more with everyone would be efficiency. When I first started, we were giving out CFLs. Now we're giving out LEDs, which are more efficient. Another method would be use of timers and water heaters. I would guess that most rentals have water heaters with no timers. As a result, the water heater's on 24/7 rather than from 5 to 9 when most hot water usage would be needed. KIUC is also starting a time of use program as a way of seeing whether or not we can encourage our members to use that time of the day when the sun is shining the brightest to wash their clothes, dry the clothes, run the dishwasher. So I think there are some options that are out there that we should explore. Thank you.
This is Mina Morita, and I totally agree with Judge Murashige that the first thing you want to look at is efficiency. And this is really a challenge because, you know, usually your lower income, they don't have the extra cash to put out to buy a more efficient refrigerator. So we do need to look at more innovative programs to do this kind of outreach for this sector. Another kind of low-tech solution is sort of like prepaid phone cards that you have a certain electricity budget and you give a little bit more transparency on how much you have in your budget or how much you use that affects your budget, and getting that information out to the customers. It's been done before in a pilot program that Kanu Hawaii has done. And another thing that where we can use kind of low-tech technology is hot water heater storage and making these available to lower-income families.
This is Bill Peterson again. This is going to be a continuing problem because as we go forward with renewables and as we conserve more electricity, the rate structure has to change because suddenly you have to decouple, as Carol said, the cost of the grid, how we supply and move electricity from place to place, from the actual cost of the electricity that's provided to the customer. I understand that the current cost for the grid is about $100 per customer was one quote I heard, ballpark. Low-income people are not going to be able to afford that on their bill every month. So we have to find a way, and that's going to take some real thought about how to provide the low-cost electricity to our customers. All utilities are currently struggling with this. It's not just us. Anyway, going forward, I think the best thing is to increase the amount of renewables because they're lower cost. And hopefully get some representation for those people like renters who are underrepresented right now.
It's the next question.
Sorry. What criteria would you consider in evaluating fossil fuel investments in the next decade?
I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're starting with Jan, yes.
Yeah. It would be tough to.
What criteria would you consider in evaluating fossil fuel investments for the next or for the future?
It'd be tough to get me to vote for a fossil fuel plant, but I think that if I'm forced to answer the question, it would need to be low cost, stable, and absolutely supportive of renewable energy, not supplantive of renewable energy. That the renewable energy is where we've got to be. Thanks.
From my perspective, this is Calvin Mercer. From my perspective, certainly it would be adaptability to existing machinery in the power plant, or in the alternative, looking at how to spend some money to improve our generators so that they become more efficient. That would help us in utilizing whatever fossil fuels may be available at the lowest possible price. A generator which can be easily changed from one type of fuel to another might be something that we should be looking at. Thank you.
I think the components, this is Mina Morita, the components you have to look at is, first of all, the fuel costs, that it is cleaner burning, it's highly efficient, and it can complement your renewable energy penetration and increase the usage of renewable energy. So I think those are, the primary factors that you have to look at.
This is Bill Peterson. What she said, basically, we're going off petroleum. LPG's been suggested, liquefied petroleum gas, or LNG, liquefied natural gas. I think those are false solutions, even in the short term. I've worked in the port of Los Angeles, and LNG was suggested very strongly over there, but they decided against it because of the dangers of shipment. So safety would be a primary thing, low cost, as much renewable as possible, and only as a stopgap. We'll probably have to face oil-based products for another generation. But after that, we need to get rid of them.
Hi, this is Carol Bain. Well, I think those of us who have studied the electricity plant are aware that indeed our LELE power plant, a lot of our generation, they're very old. They're 50 or 60 years old. Fortunately, we have great engineers have been maintaining those. But the investment in a new fossil fuel generation, we'd have to look carefully at. We could consider if, say, the new plant, the new generator would burn, say, renewable energy, fuel that was recycled, an oil or even vegetable oil, that kind of thing. It would be difficult to keep the engines clean, but at least it's renewable, or recycled oil. That might be a factor. But, yes, we would have to look at flexibility and diversity of fuel source before any investment.
Thank you. So this is a very closely related question.
back in August, I believe, Apollo Kauai actually held a meeting on this very subject, which was the import of LNG. So there was a lot of discussion at that time about the relative carbon emissions of LNG versus our current fuel sources, which are obviously diesel and naphtha. There was good conversations about, you know, the life cycle analysis of both of those, both in terms of carbon and then also the cost and the infrastructure required. So this question is very directly related to that conversation, which many of you are familiar with. That is this. What are your views on KAUC introducing the use of liquefied natural gas, and what is your understanding of the new infrastructure required by LNG and the time commitment associated with paying for that infrastructure? Judge Morshiga.
Thank you. This is Calvin Morshiga. I think certain parts of the question are beyond my pay grade. I would not know the financial answers to those questions. I know that Governor Ige is opposed to liquefied natural gas. There may come a point in time when the use of LNG will be far cheaper than the use of diesel. But certainly the safety factors need to be studied, and I'm not in a position to tell you what would be necessary to make them safer than they may already be. Thank you.
This is Mina Morita. This definitely is a question that gets me into trouble because I've spoken out on this, and I know that people who have supported me on renewable energy issues do not agree with me on this subject. But first of all, KIUC alone will not drive the discussion on LNG. I don't believe we have the volumes to bring it here that would make it attractively on its own. As a larger statewide issue, I think the LNG discussion is extremely important. And this is a discussion of oil versus LNG, not LNG versus renewable. Definitely, LNG is traded at typically a 15% discount than oil. And so all of the studies that I have seen show that there are cost savings to LNG. And I believe those cost savings that are incurred should be used to accelerate our programs towards cleaner energy.
Bill Peterson. I used to be captain of an oceanographic research vessel back many years ago, working off Los Angeles Harbor. There was a lot of discussion back in the 70s and the 80s about building a LNG facility there at that time. Eventually, it was thought not to be such a good idea. The safety issues were too large, and although the costs are good, and it burns cleaner than normal oil products, I still think it's a bad idea, both for Kauai and for the state. And I'm sorry, I just don't think it's a good idea going forward. Thank you.
This is Carol Bain. Yeah, well, LNG, you have to look at the pros and cons and just can't slam the door on an energy resource. But whether it's right for our state, and I agree with Mina, if the state jumps in with it, maybe Kauai could take advantage of it as well because of the lower cost. And it does have, LNG does have significantly lower CO2 emissions. However, it is still a fossil fuel. I'd much rather put our investment in the pumped storage hydro project. To me, that investment would make more sense, even though all the studies aren't in with regard to LNG. So I would caution against LNG at this investment.
This is Jan Tinbruggen, Kate. To head into the question from the back end, a significant proportion of our generating capacity at KIUC could be converted to LNG. My own view is that we shouldn't spend a lot of money on any fossil fuel technology unless there are significant benefits and once again that it, they can continue to support our renewable efforts. I think the crowning discussion is right now at the price of oil, LNG is the more expensive choice. I ain't voting for that. Thank you very much.
So, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, here we go. Our first.
I kind of disagree with Jen on that. It's still, LNG right now is still trading lower than, and the target they use is Brent crude, and so it's still around a 15% discount than oil.
One more.
Okay, I've got a question, too.
This is Bill Peterson for the radio.
This is Bill Peterson. The fuel itself may be less expensive. The facilities to ship, bring it into the port safely, are going to be multi-million-dollar facilities. I don't think in the long run it's a good solution for, specifically for Kauai, but I think for Hawaii in general. I think it's just a stopgap, even if we use it. We have to look at where it's coming from and what destruction of the environment is involved with fracking and all the other processes that create it. Thank you.
You want to... So we're going to go to KKCR for the top of the hour. They're going to... Oh, you guys did it already again? You guys are on it. So Laurel has some yes-no questions for you guys, six of them.
KKCR Hale, KQA, Kilauea.
Yeah, some of these are from the audience and some are predetermined. But if people do have other questions, Megan has, you can either ask yourself at the end, which may be an easier way to get your question heard, or you can write it down. But just some quick yes or no, and rather than have you stand up and sit down, because those are kind of wonky chairs, raise your hand if you recycle. That was 100%? You got it covered, Felicia? Okay. Raise your hand if you have a solar water heater. Raise your hand if you compost your kitchen waste. Oh, that's excellent. That's a huge part of our waste stream and leading to methane gas. Let me see. What were some from the audience? Oh, here, a little bit harder one. If fracking were proposed for Kauai, would you support it?
None of them.
Oh, okay. No. Do you eat meat or dairy almost every day? Raise your hand. All right.
Yeah. No.
No. I think that's also a comment on the huge impact of industrial agriculture and cattle on our methane and greenhouse gases. Can we become 100% renewable? Can we?
It's going to be a challenge, but yes.
Yes, okay. Do you often use alternative transportation that is something other than a gas single-person car? Do you frequently?
Where?
You mean public transportation?
Well, do you walk? Do you ride a bike? Do you drive an electric car? Do you? Yeah, do you use bus? Do you carpool regularly? Okay, there's being on. Have you seen the movie This Changes Everything? Okay, we'll have to show it again then. Okay, I think that's it.
As many of you know, the county of Kauai has put out an RFP for waste energy. So our question to you guys would be, do you support waste energy, such as plasma gasification or incineration, as a source of energy for KUC? And how does waste energy align with KUC's current portfolio for energy generation? Oh, I'm sorry. We are starting with Mina.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right now, I don't, other than H-Power on Oahu, I don't see any viable waste-to-energy facilities throughout the state of Hawaii. the one type of technology that I heard was being considered is not even technologically commercially available. And so I have my concerns about what's being considered and a waste-to-energy facility on Kauai.
If by waste energy we're burning trash to produce energy, I can't fully support that. Basically, there's recyclables in that trash that can be further utilized. You're still burning something, which is still producing carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and other byproducts. I think there's better alternatives. It's something we should look at if somebody comes up with a really clean scheme, but I haven't seen it yet, at least not in the literature. So I can't really see where the advantage to it is at this point.
This is Carol Bain. Yeah, I think, Bill, you made some really good general points to educate the members. Waste to energy may work in a city like such as Honolulu, where you have a million people. And even though if you visit the refuse site here on Kauai, it may look huge, but the quantity that you need to pay off the investment for waste energy is, I don't think our island has enough trash, and plus the points that Bill made about you'd rather want to recycle and divert green waste. You want to recycle as much as you can, which reduces the amount that would be burnt. So I don't think that's a solution for our strategic plan. Of course, we looked at it. It was up on the board for 5 seconds, but it's just not going to be a cost-effective way of making electricity.
This is Jan Ten Bruggen, Kate. I do think that we need to do far more to reuse items from our existing waste stream, to recycle what can be recycled, to divert what can be diverted into composting and other areas. And the other thing is that every single plasma arc or waste-to-energy incineration plant that I'm aware of needs to run 24/7. At KIUC, on four occasions in the last month and a half, in the middle of the day, we were 90% renewable. That's how much solar we have on our system. At 90% renewable, there's no room on our system for those kind of plants.
This is Calvin Murashigi. From KIUC's viewpoint, if in fact it can produce power, provide power at a less cost than what we have, certainly it's worth considering. But I think the other factors that have been brought up by like Bill Peterson are certainly need to be considered. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Next question, how are we doing here? Do you think KAC should have a long-term goal for efficiency that is measured and tracked and reported on annually to its members? And we're talking here not about efficiency at the plant level. We're talking about customer-side efficiency. So everyone get the question?
Repeat it, please.
Okay, I will repeat it. So do you think that KAC should have a long-term goal for efficiency programs that are measured and tracked and reported on annually to the members? Mr. Peterson, there you go.
Okay, efficiency. Every business in the world these days tries to track their efficiency. It all depends on what level and how you do it. You don't want to beat on your employees. That's not considered a good thing to do. But every call center, every customer service, they track their efficiency. We need to track to our efficiency as well, and use it as a means of training and improvement. Not use it as a lot of corporate America does as a way of beating down your employees. So if
Mr.
you can.
Peterson, I apologize. In the question, I didn't make clear. We're speaking of energy end use efficiency for energy consumers. So corporate efficiency. And since that was my mistake as the moderator, I invite you to take another crack at it.
Okay. Yes, we do need to track our efficiency at the consumer end. We have one of the home display devices. We use it every day. It is really very useful to us because when it's red, we know we've got something going on in our house that shouldn't be. We look around at what we're running that we shouldn't, and it gives us the ability to decide, do I really want to run the dryer right now in the middle of the day? Oh, yes, I've got solar panels on the roof. It's a good time. Do I want to run it in the middle of the night when I'm drawing power from the utility and everybody else needs power too? No, it's not a good time. It gives you the ability to make choices, and it lets you control your own destiny as a customer. So that kind of efficiency, I think we need to track and let our customers know how they're doing.
This is Carol Bain. I know efficiency is a important value that we should put into each and every one of our lives, and anything that we can do to better educate and inform members to both conserve electricity and the use Energy Star rated appliances. Just being aware that those options are important. Being able to track, KIC does offer, they'll do an audit of your energy usage as a resident or as a business that lets you track and then introduce efficient lighting and efficient appliances to help you reduce your use of electricity over the year. That is important. The more education we can offer our members to become more efficient, the better. And yes, if we can track it, that's a challenge.
This is Jan Ten Bruggenkate. Let me be contrarian. No, we shouldn't report annually our customers' efficiency. We should be reporting it and developing the technologies in real time. People ought to be able to see all day long, every day, what their efficiency is, not wait until Christmas time.
This is Calvin Murshige. I wish I could be optimistic that our citizens could be that efficient or will try to be efficient. I think those of you here, I don't suspect will have any problem doing so, but when you go to the market, how many people bring their own bags? How many people recycle? You know, no matter what we do, we can promote it, but what percentage of our members are actually going to follow through? I think we're basically lazy or we just don't care. But I think there's always room for optimism, and hopefully one of these days we will have better participation and efficient methods of running the household. Thank you.
This is Mina Morita. Besides the besides the renewable portfolio standard, there is a state law called the Energy Efficiency Portfolio Standard, and with electricity use reduction targets, just like the RPS. And forgive me for my old age, but KIUC is supposed to be reporting this to the PUC on an annual basis, but I can't remember exactly how. But I think that is one of the weak spots of our electric utility. We don't have very aggressive efficiency programs, and it's something that should be looked into. And there's a disincentive for the utility right now because, as Carol mentioned earlier, our rates aren't decoupled. And so that's the disincentive because the utility revenues rely on electricity sales. And that's counterintuitive to efficiency. We want to sell more electricity, not reduce sales.
Jan, for a 30-second response.
Yeah, this is Jan Ten Bruggenkate. I did want to make the note that as I think everybody on this panel knows, we have a docket to decouple our rates. We can solve that problem. The PUC has a lot on its plate right now, but our decoupling docket has been in their hands for a long time, and we can't do it until they approve it. Thank you.
I'll use one.
And Carol for a 30-second response.
Yes, this is Carol Main. Just for information to share, people on Kauai, our residents, our businesses, they're already so aware of, because the cost of electricity is high, we are very efficient users of electricity. In fact, on the mainland, the average electric use for our residents is over 1,000 kilowatt hours. Here on Kauai, last year we, I think it was 471. So it used to be that Kauai residents were at about a little over 500, 508, 518 kilowatt hours on the average. So per month, and we're so efficient as it is.
Sorry, I got to cut you off. Sorry.
Thank you,
though. Just a quick note on our questions that we're going to do at the end. Anybody who lines up to ask a question in person will be getting a free LED light bulb. So while they last, yeah. So far, we only have four of them. But what are the advantages of being a co-op? And how can we best take advantage of them? Starting with Carol.
Thank you for that question, Luke. One of the best advantages that I can think of is that you're about to elect a local board of directors. Many investor-owned utilities, they've got boards that, you know, members that may not even live in their communities that are making decisions that affect their utility rates or their investment in generation. So that's, to me, the democratic nature of our electric cooperatives. In each member, there's over 23,000 of our members out there, each with an account. Each has one vote. That means, you know, the big hotel, one vote. You as an individual, one vote. So it's a great way. That's the best advantage that I have time to explain, and there are many more that I'm sure our other candidates will share with you about electric cooperatives.
Hi, this is Jan Tenbruggen, Cade. There are lots of benefits to a cooperative. One of the key one that comes to mind is that our electric utility doesn't need to answer to shareholders living somewhere else. We are owned by our membership. Our members are our customers. It is in our interest to keep our members happy, and we do that by the best reliability in the state, pushing our rates lower and moving toward renewables. That's what this co-op, it's one of the reasons that we're doing it, and better than every other utility in the country, is because we're a co-op.
This is Calvin Murashige. KIUC is one of some 900 cooperatives throughout the United States. So we have the benefit of tapping this resource as far as what has worked in the past, what hasn't. We can look at different languages on the documents that they use in their submissions to the Public Utilities Commission. Also, as a co-op, we have access to financing that an investor-owned utility would not. So we are able to engage in these renewable programs, the solar farms, at a very affordable rate that otherwise we could not afford without the financing available to co-ops. Thank you.
This is Mina Morita. You know, many of you are aware of the Hawaiian Electric NextEra merger application before the PUC right now. One of the main debates out there is locally owned, Hawaiian Electric being locally owned. Hawaiian Electric is not a locally owned company. And they're owned by a lot of institutional investors and investors outside of the state, outside of the country, all around the world. the advantage of the co-op is there's no doubt we're locally owned. You know, and we are responsible for the utility. We own the utility. And then on top of that, you know, as members, we're accountable for the makeup of the board, and that's really important, especially with this debate going on right now.
This is Bill Peterson. I love the co-op model. I think it should be expanded to more industries myself. You all listening today are the owners. If you've got electricity in your house and you're not generating it from your own solar panels divided from the grid like Luke did at one time, you are a member of KIC and you are an owner of KIUC. That's a perfect model. It means that you have a say about what's going on. How else could a little community 2,000 miles from the action as it should be on the very forefront of renewables? How could a board of a company that's smaller than half the industries in L.A., how could that be so far forward of what either HECO or Southern Cal Edison, any of those big guys are doing? It's because the co-op model works.
Love to hear it. We are very fortunate, and it's wonderful that we were gifted with this opportunity. And, you know, all the people in the room that were involved in that, thank you very much. We have a cooperative. Last question that was kind of pre-configured for the moderators, and then what's going to happen is we're going to have some audience questions, and then we are going to stop at about 7:40 so that you guys can make your kind of closing statements, and we have a few minutes to talk story informally after that. So I'll just go ahead, and whose turn are we? This is
back to Jan.
Okay. So increasing the use of electric vehicles will decrease our reliance on fossil fuels for transportation while adding to the demand for power from KAUC. What are your views on EVs, and how do we get there?
I love EVs. I have one. It's an electric bicycle, however. gets me out of the valley where I live without having to get too sweaty. Electric vehicles are really important to our future. They're important to develop demand. They're important to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. As a community, it's someplace we have to go. Other than hydrogen, which needs to be generated by something, there aren't good alternatives for vehicles that people own to drive around themselves. That said, electric vehicles aren't the only part of the mix. Mass transportation is, and a change in people's mindset, driving less, combining trips, taking your family with you when you go places so that four cars don't have to go there, all of those things. Thank you.
I suspect that this is Calvin Murshig. I suspect that we do not have more EVs on the road on Kauai for a variety of reasons. One, the range for some of 100 miles for the need to recharge may be too restrictive. The cost may seem to some to be too expensive. But I anticipate that as the range increases, as Tesla becomes cheaper, that you may find more EVs on the road, and certainly it will help the utility as we generate more power to fuel these vehicles. And I think it's a good thing. It's something of the future. Exactly when we will have a larger percentage, I'm not so sure, but I'm sure it's going to happen one of these days. Thank you.
I see electric vehicles as a opportunity for the utility in growing our load. I think it's something that should be considered very much along with especially electric buses for better public transportation alternatives for all of us. Coming into the forum, I got stuck at Hanalei Bridge in traffic. I got stuck at the turnaround in Kapaa in traffic. I got stuck at several choke points. And so I don't know about having more vehicles on the road, but, you know, if they have to be on the road, I'd like to see electric vehicles on the road.
Oh, that kapa'a traffic, that's a whole other discussion. I agree. I think electric cars, electric vehicles in general, are going to be the future for Kauai if we can do it. The problem is the battery and the range right now, and that's probably why you don't see more people investing in it. But with the new increase in batteries coming out of Tesla and other people, I think you're going to see some real improvements over the next 5 to 10 years, and I would certainly like to be part of that. We drove here in a Prius, and it gets 44 miles to the gallon, and that's a nice step in the right direction. But, boy, if I could hook up my electric car to my solar panels at home every night, or every day, excuse me, wouldn't work too well at night, that would be wonderful. If I could find an electric pickup truck to haul my green waste away, that would be wonderful too, but that's not happening real soon.
This is Carol Bain. Yes, electric vehicles. If when the sunniest part of the day, if you've got an electric vehicle, you can use that very affordable electricity to power up your car, to charge your battery. That's ideal. And though I used to have an electric vehicle, though I don't currently have one, my next vehicle is going to be an electric vehicle. The reality is that in a city, there's more rechargeable stations, more recharging stations. In a rural area, there's still a challenge with finding enough recharging stations spaced around the community. But I look forward to having more electric vehicles seen on this island, and hope to invest in one myself.
Can I use my other light bulb here?
That's Bill Peterson for his 30 seconds.
I think one other thing we could do as a utility is encourage all these large parking areas to install solar on top of the parking structures and provide more outlets for rechargeable stations through either rate discounts or through some other mechanism of low or no-cost financing, because the more stations we get out there, the more cars you're going to get out there. But that's going down the road a ways.
So, just to review where we are, we've got about 15 minutes before we ask our wonderful candidates for their closing statements. Thank you all for participating and for putting yourselves out there. You're all doing a great job, at least in my opinion. We have a whole bunch of audience questions, and so as moderators, we're going to have to filter through them. We're probably only going to get to some. We have both written in. We obviously have people that would like to ask them as well. For those asking the questions themselves, we really ask you to remember the format of a question, and this is for everybody. It's definitely not a long statement. It's a quick question to these guys that we're looking for an answer from them as opposed to your own statement. With that, I'm going to have Marge Dente kick it off. Marge, thank you for being such an active co-op member. If you could have a quick question for your board members here.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, live from Puhi.
Aloha, and I want to thank all the candidates for being here and being as candid as possible with your answers. Bill Peterson, I take disagreement with you. I don't think we have a fully operable co-op. Transparency has only been in, I think, three of the candidate statements. To me, the problem with the KIUC is not the electric outage and what we all get when we plug something in. It's being a member of a co-op when I cannot get the answers for why decisions, major decisions, are made, who makes them. And if you are interested in transparency, I would like all of you to answer, how can there be more transparency about the decisions that are made by the staff, by the board, and the administration? Thank you very much.
So does anyone want to take a first crack at that? Bill.
Well, I'm an outsider, so transparency is important to me too. Anyway,
I have to agree. There has to be transparency. I know the board has made great strides on that over the last few years, but there's always more to do. I see most of the documentation on the website these days, which is a big step forward. I would like to see pretty much every meeting agenda and minutes on there as well. I don't know if that's on the website yet. But
the minutes are on the website after they're approved, which takes 30 days.
Yeah, I know there's always a delay in things coming up. That happens with us down at NYC as well. Anyway, on this island, we have a history of decisions being made behind closed doors. We need to change that.
Thanks, Bill. Does anyone else want to take a chance? So I didn't offer up that, you know, the intent of these questions is to kind of rotate them through. As moderators, we will look for to see if there's any volunteers. And
my name is Jan Ten Bruggenkade. I'm currently the chairman of the board, and I'll just make note that Marge is normally at our monthly board meetings. Our monthly board meetings is where the major decisions at the co-op are made. They're made in public, and the public is invited to those meetings. They happen generally on a Tuesday at the end of the month. Our agendas are posted on the both on the website and on the front door of our cooperative building, between Puhi and Lihui, where the KIUC building sits. We could do some more on transparency, and we're doing more than we were a couple of years ago, and we're doing more than we were a few years before that. And let me just suggest that before we had a co-op, there wasn't such a thing as transparency. Decisions were being made in Stamford, Connecticut, not here.
And I'll put in my minute's worth. This is Carol Bain. Oh, 30? Thank you. Okay, 30 seconds. We try as a board to only go into executive session to discuss, of course, personnel matters or details about contracts before they're finalized so that business confidential choices aren't public until the contract's completed. But one area that we could improve on, and we have had discussions, and the board will evolve this, is that when we have our committee meetings, we really have great dialogue on controversial issues. But say if you're defining a policy and it's in the works, you may not want to release the work in progress until it's finalized. So that's one thought on the committee side that's debated. Ran out of time.
I'm going to ask a quick question, and then we'll take John Yukimura's question after that. So we have a question for everybody, if you can all answer this one. And if you can just do it in one sentence, maybe one and a half sentences. What is the most important issue facing KIUC at this time? Let's start with Carol and move back this way towards Jan.
Well, I think the most important issue is this pumped storage hydro project, because that's an important issue that I really am running for that. Just getting that information out.
Sorry, just one sentence. sorry. Thank you. Pumped hydro. Good.
Pumped storage hydro.
Oh, we're going backwards?
Yeah.
Okay. Who pays for the grid? How do we make it affordable?
That was going to be my... affordability.
This is Calvin Murashige. I think the biggest issue that we're facing in order to better provide reasonable rates of electricity would be energy storage.
And this is Jan Ten Bruggenkade. My sense is that that our rate structure is the key, and it needs to be fair. It's not now fair, and I'm past my one sentence. I'll stop.
You're a journalist. You can make long sentences.
Joanne?
Thank you. I want to first say that
Kauai is very lucky to have the lineup of intelligent, informed, dedicated candidates that we have tonight. And my question is about the PACE program. I may need some help with the technical words, but we've been waiting for a long time to be able to have solar water heating paid for, pay as you go. And my understanding, my limited understanding is DBET has just blown the regs and the possibilities for that, but I may not be clear about it, and I'd like to know how we can move that ahead, this pay-as-you-go, where renters can get solar water heating just by paying for the regular electric bill.
Okay, so, Joanne, it's not called PACE, it's called on-bill financing. This is another docket that's kind of caught up in the PUC, which has a backlog because this merger agreement has taken up a lot of its time. But it is something that is moving forward. I believe the KRUC is a participant in this particular docket, but it's it's just the technical aspects of getting the program off the ground and the customer service platform that's needed to ensure that it's pretty seamless in moving forward. That's the challenge right now.
Feels like we've been waiting for about 10 years.
Yeah. It's been 2 years.
Mm-hmm. What was it called?
On-bill financing. On bill, O-N. So you pay, typically you pay for these energy saving devices from the savings on your bill.
So if you put...
So I can jump in with a little bit of context if it's helpful. You know, back in about 2010 with the Kauai Energy Sustainability Plan, there was a conversation that involved property-assessed clean energy bonds, which was another mechanism to get a similar result. That mechanism was through the county. At the time, there was a decision made to go with on-bill financing because that was actually moving forward more quickly. Obviously, in hindsight, that's not proven to be the case. But the idea is that you can pay for an asset such as a solar hot water heater or other, you know, energy efficiency amenity at your property via your electric bill or, in the case of PACE, via your property tax bill. So it takes away the burden of having to have the upfront money to put some of these improvements in place. Is there any other?
I just want to help. Say your bill is $150 a month and you do not have solar hot water on your roof. You can put it on and you're going to save $50 a month. So rather than have to front the $4,000 or whatever to install it, you can put it on your bill and you pay $50 a month until you pay it off. On bill financing.
There's a bit of audience discussion here.
So I think we should avoid getting into too many details, but in fact, it does apply to renters as well, and that's one of the big advantages of the program. Is there any other candidates that want to try to offer 30 seconds on that, or should we move to the next question? Okay, next question is I'm going to take from the written questions, and then we're going to go to Mr. Jonathan Jay. Thank you, sir. This is a very appropriate question given the last few answers, and that is, what is the appropriate level of regulation for KAUC as a member-owned cooperative, and should they be regulated in the way that they are currently, or should that change?
This is Jan Ten Bruggenkate. With a wry smile, I say that it's really nice to have a PUC because we can blame them when it takes too long to get things done. Realistically, most of the cooperatives in the country do not have a PUC. They are not regulated. It is their boards that are elected by their citizens, by their members, who make those decisions, rate decisions. If we had that situation, we could move much more aggressively to respond to inequities in our rate structure, for example, which we cannot now do because we end up waiting in some cases for years for the Public Utilities Commission to make decisions about issues that are impacting our members right now. That said, we do have a situation in which we have the ability to ask the PUC to lift their regulatory power on specific dockets, and we have done that on a couple of occasions.
So actually, that's what decoupling is all about, is the ability, you know, it's kind of like regulation light, we call it. And many co-ops in other states have no Public Utilities Commission having oversight. They set their own rates. But here in Hawaii, what KIUC is asking for is the decoupling to happen, which would separate the sales from the margin.
This is Calvin Murashige. To add what Jant and Brookengate has said, very simply, the cooperative is governed by the board. And so the members have a voice through the electoral process to steer the cooperative in a fashion that the PUC would otherwise do for investor-owned utilities. So that's what we are trying to get the PUC to understand and hopefully see our viewpoint, that we are being regulated by the members through the annual elections. Thank you.
I think this is a really important decision that the membership has to make. The PUC typically moderates the shareholder ratepayer conflicts, and all of our laws regarding utility regulation deal with this, the balancing of shareholder and ratepayer interests. The co-op is regulated because the community didn't have full confidence when it became a co-op, and that's why it remained regulated. And I think the utility, the cooperative, has evolved, has matured, and so this is going to be an important decision for us to make, to remove ourselves from regulation, given the structure of the cooperative.
Anyone else? Okay, great. We'll go on to the next question. That would be Mr. Jonathan Jay.
Hey, thanks for coming to this forum and taking these questions. It's really helpful to everyone who's listening, who's here and on the radio, to actually hear what you guys have to say in your own words about where you think the vision and the direction of the co-op is. So my question is about water. In the February 12th edition of the Honolulu Star Advertiser, it was reported that KIUC has been diverting water from the Wailua and Waikoko watersheds without a long-term lease arrangement with the state. Even though this has been on a month-to-month revocable permit, it's been going on for 14 years. KIUC has applied for a long-term lease, but this has been contested. Do you feel that KIUC is demonstrating good environmental stewardship by diverting 100% of the average inflow streams to generate hydro at the expense of returning the natural flows of water to the watershed itself so that they can be restored and support the biodiversity of the natural environment of Kauai, and also be available to other stakeholders like traditional and customary kalo farmers who have a priority in the water use? If you are elected to the board of directors, what will you do to see that the biodiversity of the watershed is protected and that other stakeholders who have priority over KIUC get their fair share of the water? Thank you.
I see everyone looking at me. This is Jant and Brugenkate. I object to the proposition that we're stealing water. KIUC has two hydroelectric plants on an existing 100-year-old agricultural ditch system, which feeds kalo farmers and other farmers downstream. Our two power plants, which are legacy power plants that were built by the Lihue Plantation, one of them in the 20s and the other one before that, simply borrow some gravity from the water as it flows through. It's not our water. It's state water. We're operating under the authority of the State Commission on Water Resources Management. We have done everything that we can do in our power to seek a long-term lease on that water, and we're awaiting a decision. If the state, as the fiduciary, as it were, for the water, makes the decision that we get less water or in that ditch system, they not only take it from us, they also take it from the farmers downstream. Thank you.
Okay, we have one more question. We're going to ask, we're going to give to Mary Lou here because she's been waiting patiently.
Mike.
Pass on the other written audience questions because after this we're going to go to the closing statements and then have just a few minutes for you all to talk to our discussion before we wrap up. So, thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. Pumped storage. Carol, I've heard you're behind that. I want to add, and you support it, yes. I want to ask the two other existing board members right now their opinion on the viability of realistically creating pump storage on the west side of Kauai. Jan? Calvin?
This is Jan Tenbruggen, Kate. Pump storage is an old technology which makes a great deal of economic sense. It is, as many renewable technologies are, very costly up front, cheap to run, costly to build. There are a number of factors that impact whether we can do it. I'm absolutely a supporter of it. I have helped two of us, Alan Smith, former board chair, and myself, were some of the early cheerleaders for pump storage. And that's not to suggest that my fellow board member, Mr. Murashige, he wasn't on the board yet then. He is also a supporter, as best I can determine. He can say that for himself. But there are a lot of things that could get in the way. One of them is changes in technology. If batteries end up cheaper than that, we're stuck.
Sorry.
Another is financing. If interest rates go up, it could kill a project.
Just to repeat, we got 30 seconds, guys. Look at the Rob with his red paper.
Okay, this is Calvin Murashige. I agree with Jan. You know, pump storage is a great idea if it weren't for the cost factor. The deal we have with Solar City, with battery storage facility, is a terrific way of storing energy. And in the next 6 months to a year, we may even have a more efficient battery storage system, which may make the pump storage project too expensive, too costly in terms of what we would have to pay to build it. Plus, there's also the time it would take to get the necessary permitting. The state government doesn't work as quickly as we want them to work. Thank you.
Well, I'll just say permitting is an issue. We really would love to have DLNR and the Commission on Water Management be prompt in this decision. And if it does take, I'd say, another year and we still can't get it going, we may lose this opportunity. It's just a great resource, and even though the cost factor has been brought up, that it may be expensive, I'm saying over 100 years, it will not be, it'll be cost effective compared to any battery that we may buy. And yes, we do want technology to go good, but it's a good project.
And Mina, yeah.
I think with pump storage, at least you sort of know your costs going in. With the newer technologies coming out, the emerging technologies, you don't know the cost factors. You don't know the lifespan. So that's what you're trying to weigh here. And, you know, as we heard tonight, energy storage is an important factor that we're relying on to increase our renewable energy penetration. So those are things that need to be considered.
This is Bill Peterson again. I agree. I think pump storage is a worthwhile investment if it's cost-effective compared to the batteries. The battery technology is changing very rapidly. That could come down substantially in the near future, but that's a big if.
It also, the current battery technologies use a lot of fairly rare elements that are expensive, and the sources for those are largely out of our control. So there's a lot of questions with battery. Pump storage we can build. The upfront costs are expensive. It'd have to be balanced out.
You got a 15-second light bulb.
This is Jent and Brogan Kate. Yeah, I mean, we'll make the decision about whether to spend money on cost storage in the environment that's in place at that time. Technology is changing fast. Batteries will be changing. Costs will be changing. But currently, we are aggressively going forward, doing the studies that are required, doing the site studies, talking to the stakeholders, talking to the Native Hawaiian farmers who might make use of the land if we build this, or the water if we build this, talking to the state, the various state agencies that are involved. So we're pushing forward, but we don't know what's going to be there when we have to make the final decision, pull the trigger.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for your great questions. We did have a stack of questions here that we didn't get to, so please encourage you to talk to the candidates after. So we'll go to the closing statements, and since we have exactly 10 minutes for five of you, sorry, even if you had a three-minute statement, if you can speak really quickly. let's start with Bill, moving left, Carol last.
Okay, this is Bill Peterson for the final time. I see a future for Kauai that is perhaps beyond imagination to some degree. We're riding on the crest of a wave right now, like a canoe on a wave, and we got to paddle fast to keep up with it. We don't want a huli. And hopefully we can move forward, because if we can get storage, then we can bring in all these renewables, large projects, small individual customer investments, all producing electricity from completely renewable resources, bypassing petroleum products almost completely. And it's a wonderful image. And KIUC has made great strides moving forward towards that. It's a wonderful goal. I would like to see that continue. And I think storage is probably the key item there, because without it, renewables are limited. Anyway, thank you, and thanks to Malama Kauai and Apollo Kauai for this forum.
This is Mina Morita. Our cooperative is leading the way to clean energy, and I'd like to be a part of it and use my past experience in helping to lead this way. Thank you so much for being here this evening and participating, exercising your vote in this democratic process, and I hope you go out and encourage other people to participate. I'm just so proud and happy to be part of this really knowledgeable and esteemed slate. So I think what's really important here is you have really good choices in this election. Now just go out there and vote and use your membership to direct the way you want to see this co-op head. Thank you.
This is Calvin Murashige. The most rewarding experience of my life has been serving as a family court judge and especially presiding over drug court cases. Serving on the board of directors for KIUC is a close second. It's been quite an honor and a privilege to serve the members, making decisions which I know affect their everyday lives, making decisions that will impact the future of this cooperative. I welcome the opportunity to continue doing so. But I think more importantly, as Mina said, I think it's important that every member take the opportunity to go file his or her ballot. The turnout has been not even mediocre. It's been very low. I would like nothing better than to see 15,000, 18,000 members casting their votes. It's important. It's your cooperative. It's your opportunity to voice your opinion of who you want to lead this cooperative for the next several years. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. This is Jan Ten Bruggen, Kate. I'd like to thank KKCR, Apollo Kauai, and Malama Kauai for doing this forum. I don't think there are any bad choices up here at this table, and I like others, I'm proud to say that. I'll finish quickly by saying, you know, there's an ancient, one of my favorite quotes is, it's an ancient Chinese quote, "May you live in interesting times." These are interesting times in the utility business. Technology and economics are changing so dramatically. 8 years ago when we did our strategic plan, we didn't have a clue how you got to 50%. Now we're blowing through 50% and we're looking at 100%. That's cool stuff. On the other hand, we've got problems for a utility about our members going off grid, about the dramatic changes in how you run a grid under modern conditions. It's exciting stuff. I'm pleased to have been a part of it. I hope you'll let me continue to be a part of it. Thank you.
Aloha, this is Carol Bain. This is my last chance to remind you all that a large pond of water is a battery. Think that. And so my other priorities are to enable joint membership as our bylaws allow. That's something I'm working on. And of course I want to improve the relationships between our cooperative members and our utility. I'm holding up for the viewing audience. They can see it's a little bit oversized white envelope. This is what your ballot will look like. Look for it in your mailbox. Don't throw it away. It's not an advertisement. It is your ballot. So please look for this. It's white with a big, important official meter fee ballot enclosed, first-class mail. In it is everything you need, including a self-addressed, already postage-paid envelope. You can mail your ballot. You can phone in your vote. You can also go online because they give you a unique number. As a member, each of us, one member, one vote. Please use your vote. And I'll close by saying that as a current KIUC director, I do hope to be reelected. I am asking for one of your vote, and I take my duties of care seriously, and I'll make the decisions in the best interest of our members. Mahalo. And thanks to Apollo Kauai and the sponsors here, KCR and Malama Pono for hosting this. Oh, Malama Kauai for hosting this. Thank you.
All right. Big round of applause. So two very important dates coming up. One is the last day to turn in your ballots for the KUC director's election. That is March 12th by noon. Jim Kelly, is that right? That's right, from the horse's mouth. March 12th by noon. So you can actually, I believe they still have the ability to vote online. Jim, confirm that? You can vote online or you can vote via paper ballot. Another important date, Apollo Kauai is organizing a meeting in March, and that is happening on St. Patrick's Day, which shouldn't be hard to forget, March 17th. At the Lihui Civic Center. So if you want to get more engaged, be there. Thank you for coming out tonight. We're through with questions. Is there something we can address really quickly?
It's coming in the mail.
Okay, so the ballots are just being sent out. Jim, can you clarify that? Are they being sent out today? Okay, so ballots are due in the next couple of days. So it's okay that you haven't seen them yet. You'll see them very soon. Great question. Thank you.
And this has been KKCR.
Thanks, everybody, again, for coming out. And thank you to Apollo Kauai. Aloha.
And this has been KKCR Hanalei.
KKCR as well. Thank you, listeners, for participating.
KAQA Kilauea KIUC Forum live from Puhi.
And if you enjoyed what you heard tonight, you should know that tomorrow evening at 4 o'clock, we're going to have Mina Marita on as a guest for Out of the Box. Ask some follow-up questions for her for some of the statements she made this evening, as well as taking calls and questions from you, the listener. So thanks so much for tuning in to KKCR, the station that loves you, and for Dove and myself and Felicia. I want to sign off and say aloha and ahui ho. Back to, is what, who comes up next, Dove? Dove. Hey, Dove. Who's next? Who's coming up next? Is Zora going to do it? Nate. All right. Stay tuned for Noah Popo. Aloha.
All right. That is right. So handing off here, mahalo to Felicia, Jonathan, Jay, and Dove for operating our KKCR remote broadcast of the KIUC Candidate Forum live from Puhi. It is I, Dagan, and let's get into it here on your community radio station, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the program No Apopo.